This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in a very windy Franklin, Kentucky today. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. And Jensen, it feels like wind is the discussion of the day here, certainly around the Northeast as we get ready for the first round of the U.S. Open. I say get ready because I believe it's still been in place in the last hour, and we have not been able to get this thing restarted so far this morning. Correct, sir?
That is correct. We are still in a holding pattern here. 9:05 Eastern is what we're being told. Our esteemed reporter, Joe Frizzo, in the area, and the U.S. Open Golf is confirming round one at Shinnecock Hills will resume at 9:05 a.m. Eastern. Now, what that means, Dave, we only have, I want to say we've got, what, four groups that have gone off, four or five here. So you still have a healthy swath. Remember, early tee time, first tee time, 6:35 a.m. Eastern. We are going to be pretty log jammed here. And that's with the weather impending for what we were all looking at. If they get all the rounds in today, I will be utterly shocked. I don't think it's happening. But it bears repeating for people just joining us. If you have not jumped in yet, still time to get in there because none of the big guys have gone off yet. So Dave, why don't we start with you just kind of recapping, because first round leader bets, I know you and I both aligned on a couple here. Patrick Reed at 50-1 is one that we're on. I know I put in Tommy Fleetwood at 34-1. You've got a handful of first round bettors, but overall reset the stage because now I think the delay will severely impact specifically that afternoon wave, which you highlighted yesterday.
Yeah, and it's going to be weird because a lot of these plays that I made last night were, you know, obviously weather dependent and not counting on a delay, on a fog delay. I did not have that factored in. So now a lot of the quote-unquote early morning is going to get pushed into the afternoon. And they might be susceptible to the winds that we were predicting for the afternoon wave. And I wonder, Jensen, if the late afternoon guys, like, say, the John Rahms are supposed to tee off around 2 o'clock Eastern time, if they can't finish, it might be actually advantageous now, the later you go, to come back and wrap up tomorrow morning if you can't get this thing completed today. So keep an eye on this. But the four first-round leader bets that I made, these are all small pizza money bets because, again, it's so tricky trying to handicap Mother Nature right now. But I did play the two cams, Cameron Young and Cameron Smith. And Cameron Smith is a guy that I really do like. Remember, right there at the PGA Championship at another really hard golf course at Aronimink, he was there on the back nine with a chance to possibly push Aaron Rye, who eventually pulled away for the win. I do like his chances here as a long shot play, 70-1. You and I both have him at 110-1 to win this tournament outright. Patrick Reed, 45-1. I like Patrick Reed is almost weather independent. I think the tougher it gets, it doesn't bother a guy like Patrick Reed. Ludvig Åberg, and again, I got a Brendan Sorsby court injunction to bet Ludvig Åberg for just a pizza money first round leader bet because I'd said here in these airwaves I would not bet him this week. I do not have any outrights. I do not have any placement markets on him. It was incumbent upon Ludvig to get the good and the benefit of the weather draw. I don't know that that's now going to be the case with these tee times pushed back. Cameron Young, I'm a little bit concerned about the injury reports or all that tape that you've seen on him leading up to his practice round. But if he's not injured, I think he should be around not only for the weekend to be a potential winner here come Sunday, but I like him again in the early groups here at 33-1. Here's what I would advise, Jensen, if you have nothing in pocket here, people you're watching and listening this morning, and those guys have not teed off yet on the quote unquote early groups, it might have been advantageous to look to unders for them early. Now I would not. I would only play overs because once this fog does break, and it looks like they're going to get ready to get out here in just about a minute or so, then the winds are supposed to come up here a little bit later on. So those first round groups that maybe those scores are right now technically lower out there in the boards and the golf props, you might be getting some dead overs coming on these guys, even though right now they're skewed to the unders. Since I think you might be able to take advantage of Mother Nature in the betting market, I would look only to overs on individual golf prop bets today if you have not made them so far.
Very good. Again, for placement markets, does that also affect, you know, throughout here, knowing you're going to get a lot of golf in these first 48 hours and the quick turnouts, especially because, Dave, we'll have the afternoon wave, and especially guys later. I mean, that's a lot of golf on a Friday. Does that affect kind of how you would handicap that portion of where the tournament now unfolds?
Totally. I think what we have to do now is, and I've kept a couple spots open on my card to kind of readjust here and keep some wiggle room here. I didn't want to get it locked in completely with full unit plays and the like, to adjust depending on how many holes they're going to have to play, whether they're going to try to squeeze that in. Because remember, we were already theorizing, and Carl Paulson, we were on the program. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Yesterday on here, and he said, these are going to be six-hour rounds. Well, that was without the delays, Jensen. So we just do that math from Mother Nature and how long the sun's going to be up there at Shinnecock Hills today. Those guys that are going off late today might have to come back tomorrow. And what would be odd is play maybe a significant number of holes tomorrow. And then if they can try to get in that second round, that's the cut down day tomorrow. So when you're looking at those guys to make miss the cut, and we had a lot of queries on social media about that, I think it's fair to look at a Bryson DeChambeau and play him at plus money to potentially miss the cut. I think it's fair to look at some guys. I know that Kelly Bidlin has a miss the cut prop on Cameron Young. Well, if Cameron has to go out now in what theoretically could be the toughest conditions, it could be really dicey for him to have to go out kind of late today and then potentially late again tomorrow. So these weather draws are getting all screwed up now because of the inclement weather now with the fog that we did not anticipate. We did anticipate the wind. Now, I do want to point this out, listening to the USGA yesterday, and they made the point, Jensen, to say that, let's say this afternoon, they're trying to get in this first round. If a golf ball is oscillating on the green, and what that means, people, is essentially, let's say you've marked your ball, and then you put the ball back on the green, and it's just waffling, and it's moving. The players will stop, right? They're not going to address the ball while it's moving because that would be a penalty. So they're going to stand back, and they're going to wait for this ball to stop oscillating. Well, if it doesn't, Jensen, and it happens on multiple holes, the USGA has said that they will come in and they'll have to halt play. If it's happening on one hole, they will back up play even longer and wait, because these are exposed greens that you have out here at Shinnecock Hill. So if it's happening on one hole, they're going to try to fight through it. If it happens on multiple holes, Jensen, they will, in fact, stop play this afternoon and then try to get back out there early tomorrow. So something to keep an eye on is the golf ball oscillating on the greens? That's what that means. Is it moving and the wind's blowing it all over the place? If it is, they're going to shut down play later on this afternoon. You and I are in alignment on Cameron Smith, the Australian, for a long shot play at 110 to 1. You also got some really good numbers, I think, on Tommy Fleetwood. What do you have there?
Yeah, so Tommy Fleetwood, I'm going to play in a top 10 finish, including ties, there on DraftKings. And again, always want to remind people, make sure you shop around for the house rules and understand, you know, what pays as full and what does have the dead heat rule. So we went Tommy Fleetwood, top 10, plus $1.86 on DraftKings. Also part of a 4-to-1 boosted make the cut parlay, Dave. In that regard, I have Tommy Fleetwood, Colin Morikawa, Justin Rose, and Shane Lowry. That is boosted to plus 414. That's a full unit play on those four guys now to make the cut. And I'm very anxious and emboldened now that you've got a better feel, or at least foreshadowing that some of those guys are in the later tee times. And so maybe they'll be coming back tomorrow when things might be calmer. I do like that even more. On the top 20 side, oh, by the way, Colin Morikawa, also a top 10 finish for me at plus 340. Going to kind of err on the side that the healthy and better Morikawa shows up here. Again, another later tee time there for him. Top 20 finish, two guys that are great in bad weather, but also great in majors. Justin Rose, plus 215. Shane Lowry, plus 255. I think we're going to learn a lot here, and I'm kind of happy that we got a bit of a delay, Dave, so that you and I can go watch in real time, seeing how the course plays out, because I think there are going to be some live opportunities to really be able to jump in here and feel like you've got a real puncher's chance at being able to extract some value watching how that course plays out in real time.
Love that. We talk about it all the time, right? Especially in golf betting, which I think can be very difficult. You got to watch. You really do. It's hard just to look at numbers and then fire away. You should be watching this golf course, see how it's playing, and which guys can handle it the best. I do have some head-to-head matchups for the full tournament. And remember, you can win these bets, Jensen, in 2 days. If your player makes the cut and the guy you're going up against misses it, bet's over, you win after 2 days. And I kind of look for that. I did play Wyndham Clark against Colin Morikawa at plus money, small plus money, plus $1.05. I played the captain, Keegan Bradley, who I think should excel. Maybe excel could be a strong word here, but at least fight, because he is a fighter. And got him at plus money, plus $1.10 against Kurt Kitayama. I like that wager a lot. And Russell Henley, I like Siwoo Kim too. But Russell Henley, I want to make this point, at minus $1.05, if you can search for him in matchups. I was listening to the Golf Channel, and we've had a lot of those guys come on the shows with us, and I really appreciate those guys taking the time to lend us their insight. And as I'm watching yesterday, we actually had Brandel Chamblee switch his pick on the air, Jensen. This is like a first, right? He said he went on ESPN with Tony Kornheiser and Michael Wilbon, and he gave out Matt Fitzpatrick as his winner. And then he came on the Golf Channel yesterday, and he said, I got to apologize to those guys. I made that pick before I saw the weather draw. And he switched his pick to Russell Henley. And I think, Jensen, that's what we're getting at, right? When you got guys like that, that are literally switching picks because of the weather draw, and I know a lot of people, man, how much you guys are making a lot of this weather. Yeah, we're doing it for a reason, because it could be, as I mentioned on Monday, I had it as my number two overall factor after the mental outlook that a golfer has here at Shinnecock, could be the weather draw. It's because this U.S. Open, unlike any other, plays so difficult anyway, and then you factor in those wins, it's a fact that that's the reason why only three golfers in the history of the U.S. Open have finished under par at this place. It can play diabolical, and I think we're going to see that today. Let's get to some baseball talk. The Daily Diamond, it's up next. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We know the United States Open is underway, so if you missed out on the $1 million Splash Sports contest there, Jensen, you still have a chance to score bigly. How about this? Splash Sports has launched the $500,000 High Stakes World Cup Survivor. Now, it is $1,000 to enter, and it starts at the round of 32. So here's how it works. You're going to pick one team to win. Once it's selected, you cannot pick that team again. So you get it right, you get to move on. You get it wrong, or it ends in a draw. Oh, boy, J. Lou, you're out. So right now, new players using the promo code VSiN get a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free Quick Picks entry, and a Quick Picks payout boost on an entry up to $20. Entries close on the 28th, so don't wait. Sign up now, splashsports.com/VSiN. Use that code VSIN. You got to be 21 years of age or older. See the site for all the rules and the details. That's interesting, though, Jensen, very quickly. Round of 32 is where this high-stakes one begins for the World Cup. I know we can't enter, but if you were to enter, Jensen Lewis, quick strategy that you might give for the people out there?
Well, the picks that I made, or at least that I advocated for, tier one was Tommy Fleetwood. Tier two was Colin Morikawa. Tier three, Shane Lowry. Tier four was Justin Rose. Tier five, Jordan Spieth. And tier six was Ricky Fowler. So we will reassess and see if we would have been winners in this high stakes U.S. Open Splash Sports competition. But that is the strategy that I would have gone with.
Yeah, and again, we'll give out those picks and see how you and I did in the golf version. But again, you want to get in on this one, too. You can do the World Cup picking up at the round of 32. Still a lot of money on the line there. Okay, a lot of baseball that we're going to get to here on this Thursday. Normally you get some of that day baseball here with the getaway days and the like. That's going to be in today's edition of the Daily Diamond. how did you guys approach those Thursdays, Jensen? Because you knew normally you're going to be on the move somewhere a lot of times here, going to city to city. Are Thursday day baseball games a different feel from the rigmarole of 162?
Just depends on where you are. If you're leaving from home, the starting a big road trip, if you're going to a great city with good food, you're excited to get the hell out of Dodge so that you can enjoy some time with the boys on the road here. That's where I'm going to look for a couple of different spots so far. And I think that the opportune spaces will be, even with your Mets and Phillies, I do like an alternate total over 9 today. And I know that when we look at where the Mets come off pacing the Cincinnati Reds, a nice little spot for them to, you know, kind of get the bats going a little bit. Cincinnati has just been a real tough spot for them. Philadelphia is 19-15-1 to the over as a home favorite. And I think when you look at where they are today, looking at the pitching matchup, this is going to be one that you want to attack. With Aaron Nola on the mound, who has been batting practice in a lot of regards, so has Sean Manaea in certain spurts. That's at 6:40 p.m. Eastern time, Citizens Bank. It's starting to get hot. The ball is starting to travel. So that's an over alternate total over 9. I found at Novig at minus $1.28. Also going to go back to the well. We tried to take a shot on my Guardians for a short road dog. That is not really good. One of the worst starts for Gavin Williams all year, and the Brewers just keep being a buzzsaw. Shane Drouin's going to get the ball there for Milwaukee in the series finale. Great day game spot to tackle and get after Parker Messick. Again, a home favorite has been a really advantageous spot for the Milwaukee Brewers. They're 17-10 straight up, and now looking at where this Guardians offense is without Jose Ramirez in the lineup, I think runs are going to be at a premium for them moving forward for the next several weeks. So let's not get in the way of how good Milwaukee's been playing. We're going to play them on the money line, minus $1.41. I found that at Novik. Not too bad of a price there at Circuit, minus $1.43. So just a couple of cents off. Shop around again for the best price. Other spots to look at here for Daily Diamond, Dave, as we kind of bring up where some of these other day game opportunities are. You know, Toronto and Boston, and I know Greg Peterson has targeted Treya Savage and Sonny Gray. I don't have a great feel as far as the money line, but it almost feels like if you're going to win a game, this is where Boston would have to stand up. So the Red Sox, a short home price here as a home favorite, minus $1.18, $1.22 there at Circa. That's where I would lean, to be honest, Dave. Maybe an over, but thought that would happen yesterday. Not even close, with only 3 runs. So side would favor to me Sonny Gray and the Red Sox. They got to get going here, man. Sam Kennedy said that they are going to be in this next week or two window of figuring out whether they're buyers or sellers. I mean, right now they're sellers to me at the trade deadline. I know we still got a month and change to go, but they better get to winning here because their upcoming schedule is pretty brutal.
To that end, you know, you look at Brian Wu back in the bump here for Seattle against Baltimore, and Baltimore, I think, is another team in that same category here with the Bostons and the Torontos as far as are they going to make some sort of pushes to be relevant in the second half of the year. Seattle, I almost feel like there's no urgency, Jensen, because of the division they're playing in. They're only a game above 500, and yet they've got a game and a half lead in the division. Where are you on them? I know you like this team, but can they sleepwalk? Now you get Kyle Raleigh back. Can they sleepwalk for the better part of the first half of the year and still be exactly where they want to be in the second half?
I think they've had a decent amount of injuries to overcome. And Raleigh, obviously, with the real tough start, even with him being healthy and then going on the IL, they've actually tread water pretty well. 38-37, game and a half ahead of the Athletics entering play today. Here's the upcoming spot here for the Mariners. They finish the series against the Orioles, then they get those Red Sox coming in. If you don't know the alteration they've done to the pitching staff, they're going to have each starter piggyback or be part of a piggyback situation at least once their next handful of times through the rotation. It's going to start tomorrow, where Bryce Miller is going to go about 75, maybe 80 pitches, and then Luis Castillo is going to come in and piggyback him there. They can do that, Dave, because they have the off days set up here moving forward, and the idea is They won't say it out loud. Emerson Hancock has been really good. Luis Castillo has been awful. And so they're trying to respect the veteran nature that Castillo has been a huge part of this team. And they don't want to, you know, have to make a really tough decision that would upset the clubhouse. So here's how they're going to do it. Ooh. They're going to piggyback. Each guy is going to get one of these piggyback spots, whether they're starting or whether they're coming in from the bullpen. It's also going to help save their bullpen a little bit. And then with the off days moved in, they're able to kind of keep from skipping someone in the rotation so they can keep everyone stretched out, which is great news for their longevity. But their upcoming schedule, Dave, looks pretty good. They get the lowly Red Sox coming out to the Pacific Northwest to finish the homestand. They'll come east to take on the Pirates, be a good series. Then they get the Guardians in Cleveland, and they have been really, really solid in Cleveland the last handful of years. So this may end up working out really well. They just have to continue to weather what has been an injury bug. It feels like everybody in their starting lineup of the big boys has been injured. Randy Rosarena just went down with a hamstring issue. You just get Cal Raleigh back. Luke Raley has been banged up the last couple of days, as has Josh Naylor. But with all of that, Dave, they've ascended to the top of the American League West. Imagine once they get healthy, they're going to be absolutely able to run roughshod, I think, through this American League West.
That's fascinating, this concept of the piggyback. And you know this as a pitcher, the whispers that go through clubhouses sometimes when you see this, and you mentioned that trying to respect almost the dignity of what he means to that clubhouse and that team, is this something that guys do talk about? And they go, like, this change? Or do they kind of go, all right, let's go get him. This is the plan. Hopefully this gets him back on track in this new role. Like, is there a dynamic there? Or you kind of proceed with kid gloves here?
There wasn't buy-in when they did this before because the communication part of it was brutal. They kind of caught some guys by surprise. So now, Dave, the report is that it is a unanimous buy-in. Now, we'll see how that plays out because, again, as I told you, they're not going to say it out loud. A lot of this is predicated on Luis Castillo has been really, really bad. They don't want to upset the apple cart. Emerson Hancock's been really good. You can't send him down because of how good he's been for you. So all that being said, Seattle was my pick to win the American League at the beginning of the year at 5-1. I think right now they're down to plus 360. I have not wavered in what I feel. It's between them and the Yankees right now. And then I feel like it is a chasm of differential between the next contenders because of how subpar the American League has been overall.
Very quickly, Yankees against the Sox today look pretty good here in this kind of post-Aaron Judge era. We'll see when the big guy can come back. You got to be really impressed with the tickets that you have that the Yankees have not only held water, they're playing pretty good baseball without the big fella.
Brother, this is one of those spots where if the Yankees continue to do what they're doing, you are getting as blockbuster a trade, if you will, when Aaron Judge comes back and they have all of the pitching resources. They're in great shape right now, no question about it.
When we come back here, Jensen, I'm going to talk a little bit of some World Cup soccer. Well, great having Brad Thomas on the program last week. We're going to have him on again today to kind of get his assessment of where we stand. Well, certainly one day away from the second match for Team USA on the pitch tomorrow against Australia. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Thursday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you, and they have resumed play at the United States Open right now. And Jensen, we'll get to this in the next segment. Couple guys, we got a couple birdies on the board, so we'll discuss that coming up a little bit later. Always looking for some scoring, certainly in soccer as well. Brad Thomas, kind enough to join the program once again. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Brad Thomas. Does a great job, Sportsline betting analyst, and joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Brad, welcome back to the program. A week in to this World Cup, and we wanted to get your overall general thoughts. Is there anything that's really surprised you or kind of like the big boys and maybe some chalk here showing early form here in this version of the World Cup?
You know, I'm actually quite surprised how chalky it's been, right? Like, it's the World Cup, right? The best teams win. Chalk normally wins out. But if you think about the list from the round one goal scorers or goal contributors, of all the good teams, basically all of them contributed, which means you you probably got paid pretty nicely, right? You think Christian Pulisic, I'm not going to go down the entire list, but I'm going to name some of the big guys. Christian Pulisic, Isak, Gyökeres, Salah even got an assist in there. Messi scored a hat trick. Harry Kane, a brace. Luis Diaz assists. Like, these are guys who had really palatable prices, like in plus money range for you to either bet them to score or to assist. I also think that is weird to see how many goals we've actually seen, right? The both teams to score bet has been the most profitable bet of the World Cup. 71% of the matches this first round have seen both teams to score, right? In comparison to 2022, and after the first round or the first set of games, only 44% were both teams to score. I do think it has a lot to do with playing indoor matches, right? And you mix in the water breaks in those indoor matches. The water breaks are already nice for managers to go and tell their team where they want to make adjustments. It kind of breaks up the play, but it does give them some reinforcement opportunities. And when you mix in that with an indoor stadium where they're not really laboring because of the heat, it just becomes almost like an unfair tactical advantage.
Brad, I love where your head's at, because that's where I got to a Group B match we'll have later indoors, if you will, in Inglewood, SoFi Stadium there. Bosnia and Switzerland. We were talking before the break, like, Bosnia is one of those, and I don't have any hair left to pull out, but you kind of watch them and you're like, how are they in the match? How are they finding scoring chances here? I did play both Bosnia and Switzerland, both teams to score at even money today. Your assessment of this match and a weird spot here where we have kind of that reset of the group, because all four of these teams drew in their first matchup. So handicap that matchup later on, 3 p.m. kickoff on the West Coast today.
Yeah, Bosnia are a team that never say die, right? They're basically, and I don't want to disrespect them, but they're basically in this tournament on a stroke of luck, right? They were down in the 15th minute against Italy in the qualification playoff. Bastoni gets a red card in the first half, late in the first half, and then they score in the 80th minute to tie, and then they win on penalties 4-1 against one of the better or best penalty stoppers in all of the world. But if you look at what they've done, right, over the last six matches, six straight draws, it's a team that they just don't quit. I don't know what it is about them, right? They're not overwhelmingly great defensively, and their attack is lackluster. But for Bosnia, they were really looking for someone to kind of step up to take Dzeko's spot as the big target man to lead the lines, because this is a team that wants to go out there. They want to send in crosses. They want to be dominant on the set piece. And Lukic stepped up, scored a goal in that opening match against Canada. And if I'm going to be frank with you, they looked threatening every time they sent in a cross or every time they had a set piece. Now they play against a team that literally just allowed Qatar to waltz in to the final third with zero resistance the entire match. When Switzerland played Qatar, you can look at the box score and say Switzerland probably deserved to win that match. They dominated in shots, dominated in XG, dominated in big chances. But from the onset of that match, I even made a post about it on X, Qatar were just entering the final third without Switzerland even putting any kind of body on anybody. I said it looks too easy. And what happened at the end of that match? They made Switzerland pay. If you're going to let a team like Bosnia just enter the final third and get free crosses off without any resistance, they're going to score once, maybe twice on you. I do think that this might end in a draw. I have a hard time backing Bosnia in the draw no bet market, because I think their ceiling is a draw. But if you like Bosnia in any way, shape, or form, you can bet plus one at like minus 110. I think there's a lot of value. But I'm going to say a caveat. This is a really good Switzerland team. They got shocked in that first match. This is a must-win situation for them. So if I were to bet, like I think that you should be pro-Switzerland. Minus one is probably the only angle you can take if you're pro-Switzerland, because you don't want to lay minus 183 on a team that could draw, if that makes sense.
historically neutral with Switzerland, but should be pro-Switzerland, so says Brad. I'm picking up what you're putting down. We're very excited, obviously, about the United States tomorrow to take on Australia. And Jensen, I've been talking a little bit about if there really is a home field advantage. And I want to get to that tonight with Mexico down in Guadalajara, because I feel like the first round they kind of took everybody by storm with their first round matchup victory over South Africa, taking on South Korea today. Can they carry that momentum over again tonight in Guadalajara?
Man, Mexico, much like the United States, had the perfect opening round matchup, right? They played in a team against a team that they should beat in one of the nicest, biggest stadiums for them. They played in Estadio Azteca, which is a really nice stadium. You could feel the crowd on top of you, which makes it even more difficult for South Africa. I actually think that South Korea is going to get something out of this game. So if you guys remember the South Africa match, there were a couple takeaways that I had that kind of come out of negatives for Mexico. First and foremost, Montes got sent off, right? There were three red cards in that match, and Mexico bared the biggest brunt of them. Mexico's not a real big team by any stretch of the imagination, and their biggest player, the 6'3 center back, is going to be missing the South Korea match. While it's not going to be that much of a miss in terms of size and aerial dual win rate, because the South Koreans don't really win a lot in the air and they're not really big, it's going to take away a lot of that physicality. Another takeaway I took from that Mexico South Africa match in the limited time when it was even strength is South Africa actually were winning the 50-50 balls in the midfield. South Africa weren't feeling any physical presence in the midfield. South Africa had opportunities to advance the ball in the midfield and get close to the final third. It was just South Africa who kept turning the ball over. And why I say that's important or a takeaway is because South Korea is a team that really needs space to operate in the midfield. If you think about the South Korean team, they're not really going to go down the flanks and beat you. And you know, say that with like a little bit of a caveat that sure, Son can get wide when he wants to, but these are guys that want to operate in space in the middle of the field, link up play, and then go and get a good shot off. If Mexico aren't going to provide any type of force in the midfield and they're going to allow space, I think South Korea is going to at least score once. They have an opportunity to score twice, but I do think this is more of a low scoring game. And I want to add this. While South Korea's attack in midfield should have a really good game, I'm still not obsessed with their defense, right? They run this back three. They have a lot of spaces. They leave a lot of holes and teams can get in behind. They leave a lot of really good shot opportunities for the opponent. So I think 1-1 is probably my scoreline for this, but the values on South Korea double chance.
Brad, very fair. We're going to save the red, white, and blue for last so Dave can bring the cavalry home here. I'm going to ask you about Saturday and Sunday. Any of the eight contests or eight matches over the weekend that we should have our eye on? I'm obviously Spain, man alive, laying an egg, tying or at least a drawing with Cape Verde will be one of the focal points there with the drama with Ronaldo. But is there anything over the weekend match-wise or any matchup that you've kind of got a keen eye on, maybe an actionable angle in your eyes?
Yeah, I'm going with the over 2.5 goals in Netherlands versus Sweden. And, you know, this Sweden team looked really good against Tunisia, so good where Tunisia fired their manager post-game. They scored 5 goals. It's just Sweden are just such a hard team to trust defensively, right? You allowed 2 goals to Greece in the game before. You allowed a goal to Tunisia, a team that had been struggling to score. They have the double-headed monster of Gyökeres and Alexander Isak that looked fantastic playing together first and foremost. I didn't think it was going to work out, but that looks like a dream team of two-headed monster. And then they're playing against a Netherlands side who is another team that you're going to hear things about them being a dark horse, but I don't trust them defensively as well. They play a really high line and they allow teams to get in behind. We remember that match between Netherlands and Japan, 0-0 at half, and it looked like an absolute stalemate. Then the Dutch really took over from an attacking standpoint, and Japan, in true Japanese fashion, never gave up. They scored not once, but twice against that back line. Mm. I think the combination of Isak and Gyökeres are going to be able to get in behind that line due to what I just mentioned, it being so high and them having the defensive fragility that they have. Over 2.5 feels nice. It's better than the both teams to score angle too, because you get the benefit of either team winning this 3-0 and you still cash your bet.
All right, Brad, we're going to run out of time today, but we'll have you back next week when USA beats Australia tomorrow. Yeah. and they've advanced. But that's what we're going to do, Brad. We'll have you back when USA gets it done tomorrow against Australia. Appreciate the time, as always, man. And don't let it be known that I see that Tiger Woods Sports Illustrated poster behind you. That is a fantastic cover you have there, my friend. We're going to come back, talk some U.S. Open. Live updates next right here, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, and right now, if you've not got our football special, it's an early bird special, and it's a really good one. $175 right now when you sign up, because we're going to have the football betting guide coming out on Monday. So that's going to cover you for everything you need to bet the NFL smarter. That's futures, it's win totals, divisional races, and who's going to win that Super Bowl, of course, coming in February. And this coverage will cover you all the way through February for just $175. All you have to do is go over to vsin.com/subscribe right now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Great conversation with Brad Taylor in the last segment, talking all things World Cup. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen on your time. Jensen, time is up right now for the weather delays out there at Shinnecock Hill. So we have gotten some of the bigger boys starting to get underway here. One of our guys we'll keep a watchful eye on is the Australian and Cameron Smith, former major champion, of course, winning the British Open back in the day when he beat Rory McIlroy. Even par through one. Brooks Koepka, the last time they played at this golf tournament here at the United States Open at Shinnecock Hills. He won this back in 2018. We know about the hand issue. He's getting ready to tee off here in a couple of minutes as well. So you and I have been doing the show. I think now, Jensen, we get to kind of sit back a little bit, enjoy the coverage as well because of this almost, what, two-hour delay we had this morning.
Yeah, we have three players under par at one under, James Nicholas, Brandon Wu, and Graham McDowell. We have a host of names and some big ones, as you mentioned, Cam Smith, Brooks Koepka, Cam Young, Chris Goddard also at even par. The rest are over par, and really no big names of note outside of probably Keith Mitchell and Patrick Rogers are probably the other two bigger names, if you will. They are at both that plus two, double bogeyed the first hole here. So I think that's kind of where we are. We're getting into now probably about 5-10 minutes away from some of the big boys, looking at Tommy Fleetwood, Patrick Reed, Rory McIlroy, Daniel Berger, Siwoo Kim, Tyrrell Hatton, Keegan, Captain Bradley, Ricky Fowler. So going to see a lot of the bigger. Scotty Scheffler, by the way, is scheduled to tee at 10:14 a.m. Eastern time. We'll see if the weather cooperates with that.
And again, just to cut up a couple points here, if you're looking to bet those golf props on these guys that Jensen's mentioning here before they tee off, and those books are still going to make those available until they get to that first tee, know that the USGA tried to set up the golf course, quote-unquote, easier today, knowing that the conditions are going to worsen as the day goes. So they're slower greens than what you would normally anticipate. They have made the hole locations today as accessible as they will be all 4 days. So quote-unquote, wow, the easiest course setup will be today, but that kind of counter affects here the weather, which is going to be the roughest potentially of the 4 days. So the USGA, by the way, is doing everything they can to mitigate what we're seeing here. We didn't anticipate the fog. We anticipated the wind coming later, so they're trying to make it a little bit easier for these guys today. It's not going to get easier as the weekend goes, too. The winds will be up. Just today is expected to be the highest day of those winds today. Wind gusts up north of 40 miles an hour is what they are predicting. Great conversation, as we mentioned, with Brad Taylor in the World Cup. You do have some plays today in the World Cup, four matches today. Very quickly, tomorrow for USA and Australia, and we'll break it down a lot tomorrow on the show as well. Anything that you're looking for numbers to change before maybe you make a play there tomorrow?
Probably not. Brad Thomas was phenomenal in giving out a play on Saturday, too. Over 2.5 on Sweden-Netherlands. I would agree that that feels like a numbers moving forward on both sides there. I think they've got an opportunity to really create some scoring chances there, so that'll be fun to watch. As we sit here and look at Australia and the United States, if you want an early look at that, I think there's going to be overreaction on the United States side. Again, hey, all four of the red, white, and blue being able to get this done. But I wouldn't mind looking at trying to grab some of Australia at the plus price. Both these teams with wins, again, are going to play more to not lose. And I know that's a weird thing to say, but that's part of the strategy in the group play is, yes, winning this group would really give the tactical and travel advantage to whoever wins, because they're not going to really leave the West Coast until you get, I believe, to the quarterfinals there. So something to keep in mind, not that that's a focal point for either of these teams. They're concentrating on winning the match. But I also think there is something in the back of their minds of, we're not going to take big chances, because we know if we get to 4 points with at least a draw, you're setting yourself up really well to be able to move on to the knockout round.
You mentioned it, and I thought Brad Thomas had some really good insight too, Jensen, as far as the most profitable wager so far is both teams to score, and you've got one of those plays today, correct?
Yes, Bosnia and Switzerland. Again, going to be one of those situations in Group B here. All four of these teams had a draw in their first match of group play. So you kind of have the refresh, the restart of this group. A win by either team here, and you've set yourself up in real good shape to move forward to the knockout round. I do agree with what Brad talked about. Switzerland did have a little shock and awe in their first match by not being able to get a win there. So there will be some motivation. I agree that the only play would be -1 if you're on the Switzerland side. I took a quarter unit shot on Bosnia to pull the upset. With the chaos that we've had, it wouldn't shock me if something amiss happens in the next couple of days. But my bigger play, it's a full unit, Bosnia and Switzerland, both to score. That was at even money on Hard Rock earlier this morning. And so I do like that. We're going to go right back to the well for Czechia and South Africa. This is a little different handicap, Dave, because both these teams suffered defeat in their first match of the group play. They're going to need both sides to try and move forward here. So a win will keep them alive. A loss by either of these teams, and they're out. That's it. I don't think that they're going to be able to recover from that with only one match remaining, respectively. I did play a parlay of Czechia money line or the Czech Republic money line and under the alternate 3.5. Colombia not respecting our dollars yesterday. Maybe the Czech Republic will today. And I did, just in case this is a bit more cagey, as our European friends would call it, just played a straight under 2.5. And I believe I'll check my price on that. But again, it's more thinking about how many scoring chances really will there be between these two clubs. They're not the greatest offensive soccer teams out there. So an under 2.5, the other angle that I took in the first match of the day.
All the focus at the United States Open is on the win this afternoon. In Major League Baseball, Jensen, you've mentioned with the temperatures on the rise here, that could we start looking that to affect these totals here as we now get to in mid-June?
I do. Let's go to a New York state of mind. If you're not currently standing in line, or at least standing in one of the pens there to watch the ticker tape parade for the New York Knicks, go ahead and jump in on a couple of overs respecting both New York teams. We'll start with the Yankees and the White Sox. Over 9 at -$1.30 or -$1.35, I should say. Looking at the matchup on paper, Dave, this has been a higher scoring series. Yankee bats have been great. I had expected that this continues tonight. It's Sean Burke and Ryan Weathers at the stadium later tonight. I think both offenses will get the better of the starting pitching. So I like the over 9 there, as do I in Philadelphia. Your New York Mets sending Sean Manaea out there, and the batting practice man himself, Aaron Nola, getting the start for Philadelphia. Mets with a big win in Cincinnati yesterday, a little momentum heading into a critical division series starting tonight. Let's also play the over 9 at -$1.28.
That's our esteemed producer, Joe Friso. He could be there, Jensen, but he chose to be with us and do his job instead of going to celebrate the Knicks' first championship since 1973. That is dedication, my friend, as well. Okay, you and I talked about kind of leaving some spaces open. I know Kelly Bidwin, Gil Alexander, they're coming up next year on a numbers game, and I'm sure they'll talk a lot about this too, as far as, you know, now that we're seeing the players get out there here, I do have two spots open for outrights. And again, just kind of played one long shot in Cameron Smith at 110-1 because I felt like that number, if he played well early today, would obviously get shortened up. The other one was Patrick Reed, who's getting ready to go out here in a little bit at 50-1. Jensen, I'm going to be looking to attack and see how the course plays. I'm sure you and I will be texting throughout the day here to get a couple added to the card. Are you going to be adding as well once this tournament continues in earnest?
Yeah, I kind of want to see where the afternoon wave is. We do have a rabbit, Graham McDowell, 2 under.
Whoa.
Through two. He is your leader. That feels like 10 under right now, considering what we may see. But yeah, I'm going to keep a watchful eye, especially on those guys that are going to be in that 2 o'clock, maybe even 3 o'clock tee time. A lot to still decipher here and see what the weather implications do for guys that won't finish later on tonight.
Yeah, that's a former U.S. Open champion in the Irish laddie there in Graham McDowell, Northern Ireland, I should mention there. 2 under par through two, and our guy Cameron Smith so far off to a pretty good start. Even par is good, even through a couple holes there to begin his United States Open. Great stuff, Jensen. We'll talk a lot of World Cup, more U.S. Open tomorrow as well. But again, if you want more VSiN, you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, VSiN.com, VSiN Watch app, a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, they are up next.